picking of type of rescuers in emergency medicine in Africa. Now, what type of rescuer in emergency medicine is now in need in African countries? Is there a unique figure that can be right for every place, or there is some difference?
A type of rescue.
Yeah, in the emergency medicine, so we can speak of practitioners.
Yeah, I think that would differ from region to region.
Yeah.
I mean, even if I look at South Africa as a whole, in fact, one of our students is busy conducting a research, trying to find out, because in our, I think we're the only country actually in the world that offers rescue as part of the out of the for or as part of the bachelor's degree.
Yeah.
So, but what we're looking at doing is how much of rescue do graduates do once they finish out there in the field. And I mean, from our anecdotal evidence, there's not much of rescue really that they do on a daily basis besides the like motor vehicle rescue accidents and some rope rescue in some cases. And I mean, now we've seen some flooding, for example, in Mozambique, but that's not an and in Durban recently, about a week or two back, we had some bad floods. But I mean, that's not something that happens on a daily basis, and you would need some kind of ongoing training with that as well. So it's a difficult one, I mean, to answer offhand. It would need
Yeah.
some science behind it to determine exactly what your the needs of that particular region are, so that you can train people that are fit for purpose, as compared to just training people that have got general skills which they'll hardly ever use.
Yes, I understand. And alternatively, what are the differences among countries by speaking in terms of figures of practitioners?
So just coming into the question there.
Yeah, what are the difference among countries in terms of emergency medicine practitioners? As you said, there is no unique figure that can be arrived for every place. So in basing on each country in Africa, according to each region, what are the differences of figures in emergency medicine? What are the main figures in emergency medicine crews that are present in each region?
Oh yeah, so that's also a bit difficult because, for example, I mean, we all the way in the south of
Yeah.
Africa. I mean, the African continent is quite large, but I mean, from having attended, you know, the African Conference in Emergency Medicine, there's not much of pre-hospital emergency care training that is occurring in other parts of Africa. If you look go up North Africa, West Africa, where I think South Africa by and large has been leading in terms of training advanced life support practitioners in the African continent, to the extent that when for example, companies want to employ paramedics who work in remote sites, whether it be in North Africa or like Sudan or Ghana, in these oil rigs, they take paramedics from South Africa, largely. So it's other countries have not really are not really well developed when it comes to offering pre-hospital emergency care, and that's something I think that some countries are starting to explore. I know Namibia, Botswana have followed suit, and they offer a diplomas in emergency medical care, and they've they're kind of looking at South Africa as a yardstick, as a measuring yardstick to see how they can model our systems, our pre-hospital emergency care training and education systems.
Yeah, and according to emergency medical cases that you may have faced in your region, so in South Africa, but also that can be considered for some other African countries, are the education of practitioners involved in emergency departments on which topics this education will be focused on? I mean, both for emergency medical practitioners in South Africa, and if you can mention the same education for the ones for other countries in Africa, if you can.
You're saying based on the cases, so what kind of focus? So what should we focus more on in terms of education and training?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I think from the cases that we see, South Africa has got a high burden of disease when it comes to, for example, HIV/AIDS, communicable diseases, your TBs, etc. And there's quite a lot of violence, interpersonal violence. But yet our training is still more focused on our resuscitation.
Yeah.
And yet the burden of disease really doesn't speak to patients that need a resuscitation per se. So I think our education and training is really geared towards the really critically ill and injured patient and not so much for the patient that needs, I would say, supportive care.
Yeah.
Such as your TB patients, your HIV/AIDS patients, and we've also got cardiovascular diseases. That's also as part of the burden of diseases. So So I would say our training also needs to have a great focus on those issues of supportive care and when mostly do we not resuscitate patients? Because I think the focus is more on doing than also on reflecting and not doing, for example, not resuscitating a patient based on the prognosis.
Yeah, yeah, great. And what about the training for the your practitioners about resuscitation? Which are the steps on which build a training program?
Our training is in South Africa is regulated by the Health Professions Council of South Africa.
Okay.
So they govern what must be. They've got minimum standards for what our graduates must come out with. So we offer in South Africa a 4-year degree in pre-hospital emergency care and a 2-year diploma and a 1-year higher certificate. And the Health Professions Council of South Africa has got minimum standards for all three qualifications. So universities then would then train students based on those minimum standards that the HPCSA has. Because, for example, someone with a 4-year degree will come out and practice on a particular register, which you call the Emergency Care Practitioner Register, where, I mean, they do advanced procedures like rapid sequence intubation, pre-hospital thrombolysis, and that's within their scope of practice. Mm-hmm. So that's what is regulated really by our regulatory body.
Yeah, and practically, what are the trainings and lessons that compose the training. What are the steps that you follow, basing, of course, on the regulation that you have to follow? What are practically the steps that your practitioners follow during the education program?
Oh, okay. So there's a couple of subjects. There's a subject called emergency medical care. that consists of a theoretical component, and there's one that consists of a practical component where students learn practical things on a mannequin.
Yeah.
For example,
okay.
how to put up an intravenous line. They would learn that on a mannequin before they there's another subject called clinical practice. So they learn their skills first and they found competent on a mannequin before they can go out in the field and practice that on real patients. For example, putting up an intravenous line on a real patient and do all other kinds of procedures on real patients. So they first do that on a mannequin and end up be found competent there first.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. And what about safety? I mean, is there a need for education also in managing medical materials, devices, stretchers, and so on?
Yeah, so that is part and parcel of the training to manage, materials.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we're really heavily reliant on the materials that we use. So students, I mean, are taught, for example, how to do an operational check on an ECG monitor before you commence shift, because there are medical legal issues. For example, if you were to come on a scene, your defibrillator doesn't charge for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
So hence, you would need to check it first thing before you go to before you go on shift, is to ensure that everything is in working order. And so that means your laryngoscope bulb is working, your stretchers are working, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of emphasis on making sure that everything is working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the last questions, we know that nowadays there are developments in emergency medical services in African country, and we want to know how education and new EMS systems will go together for these developments.
Yeah, so in South Africa we've had the new EMS regulations that have come into fruition recently. So what the EMS regulations seek to do is to have almost like a standard for EMS systems in South Africa. For example, if an ambulance must have this basic set of equipment, because previously there was never any law that governed how ambulance services work and what equipment must be in an ambulance. Now, we've got a situation whereby there's a law that governs what must be in an ambulance and who must be in an ambulance in terms of the level of training. So the training that the cadre of practitioners that are coming out now will be able to slot in seamlessly into the EMS system based on the new EMS regulations that have come out. And I think there needs to be a better synergy though between the new EMS regulations and the cadre of practitioners that we're training. The EMS regulations will need to be updated from time to time to ensure that what educators are training in the training institutions is aligned to what is in the ambulance services, because the EMS regulations stipulate in detail what equipment must be in those ambulances. And I think, I mean, as time and as the medical profession advances, there will be new and better equipment that should be in the ambulances and the response vehicles, which might not be catered for in the EMS regulations.
Yeah, great. And very last question. During the Africa Health Exhibition, you will have a conference about education, determinants of student success. This topic will be about precisely?
Yeah, so the topic will be about what are the determinants? So what causes students to succeed in education and what causes them not to succeed. So, and that this is a topic that stems from my PhD studies that I completed last year, so which looked at the students that are registered for the 4-year degree in emergency care in South Africa, and investigated what makes students in this particular degree successful and what makes others unsuccessful. So that's what I'll be talking about. I'm certainly looking forward to that topic.